Welcome back to the Kind of Funny Games cast. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Eddie Oye Jr.
Good afternoon, Tim.
The big daddy himself in a SummerSlam shirt, Greg Miller.
Oh, I got it!
And round out the group today, we have the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Great afternoon, Tim.
Great afternoon to you all as well. Of course, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast where each and every week we get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. We've been doing a lot of previews recently, but today you're getting a little bit more, reviews recently. We're getting more of an impressions. You know, we're just a little like the early hours into a video game. We're talking about Baldur's Gate 3. A video game that I'm pretty sure most of you didn't expect us to talk about here. Kind of funny, but everyone's
in
like,
your
no,
face.
Things look good.
Never
here it is. This, we're doing it.
You never know what we're gonna do.
You never know, but
Am
you
I
could find
shoes
out
right now. You'll never know.
But subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames where this video plays every single week. If you want it in a different video place, roosterteeth.com is where you want to go. But if audio is more your thing, search your favorite podcast feed for Kind of Funny Games Cast, and we'll be right there for you. But if you wanted to get the show ad-free, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool, Delaney Twining, and Logan Delaney have done. A lot of Delaney. You know, who would have thought? Never thought I'd have two Delaneys in one set of names ever.
I'm flying to SummerSlam tomorrow, and I hope my plane doesn't get Delaneyed.
Fuck, man. It was like close. You know?
Tomato.
Probably will.
Andy had a question on it.
What's
terrible.
Your question, Andy?
When does this go live, Timothy?
This goes live tomorrow, Thursday, August 3rd.
Cool. So check over on the Twitch channel and the YouTube channel because we're likely live right now playing it. Me and Mike will be playing it, going full into the role play stuff, doing multiplayer. We want to get into our characters. We want to create them on stream with you all. And there's a Twitch integration that allows the chat to vote for certain dialogue choices and things
nice,
like that.
That's cool.
So we're going to hopefully get into that. We've gotten a lot of requests about it, and it never seemed like something we were super going to vibe with, but I've turned a corner on it.
Oh, yeah, spoilers for the preview.
Yeah, we're going to be talking all about that in this episode, but a little more details there. So that would be Thursday, August 3rd. You could watch live on Twitch or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. But if you can't watch live, that's cool. You'll be able to watch Mike and Andy stream later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Today, we are brought to you by Honey, BetterHelp, and Shady Rays, but I'll tell you all about that later. I want to get right into our Baldur's Gate 3 impressions. Greg Miller.
And what I want to call out, these are impressions, not a review, right?
Absolutely.
Because we have not had enough time with the game. Obviously.
So let's start there. I'm just going around the table real quick. Andy, how long have you played Baldur's Gate and on what?
I'm playing on PC around 7-8 hours around there.
Greg?
5 or 6 hours, mainly on Steam Deck. I did play on a PC and a big old TV last night.
I'd say 10 hours because I've definitely recreated characters and restarted the game like at least 3 or 4 times.
Nice.
And then Bless, what about you?
Yeah, I've also played about 7 or 8 hours, mainly on Steam Deck.
Yeah, codes came in late down to the wire on this one, review embargo being launch day of the game. Obviously, we know Larian moved up the release date, right? They were originally going to be a little bit more toe-to-toe with Starfield. They said, let's get away from that. Moved it up here for PC. Obviously, PlayStation 5 coming that first week of September. I want to say the 6th, is that right? It is the day Starfield.
Any Xbox plans for this one?
Xbox, we just talked about the news story on Games Daily. They're struggling right now with parity between the S and the X. Mm. The idea is that, you know, one of the big things for Baldur's Gate 3 is the co-op, couch co-op, split screen co-op, and X can run that, S can't right now, so they are working on that, and that's the delay there.
Gotcha.
And so anyways, long story short, though,
the Delaney,
we got codes super they got a Delaney over
fact,
there
baby.
We did not get enough time with this to actually give it a full-fledged review and drop everything we were doing to go in and play the hundreds,
and that's gonna be
hours
true for pretty much any website you go to, I imagine, as of this embargo.
And I will be fascinated, because if you see somebody putting a score on this the day it goes, go and give that reviewer all the flowers, because I assume that means that they got this code on Sunday and didn't sleep, didn't eat, didn't go to the office, just sat there and played.
So Bless, what are your impressions so far of Baldur's Gate 3? A game that, before I get to the impressions, real quick, were any of you excited for this before getting your hands on it?
I started getting excited for it mid-summer, probably about earlier July, when I started to learn a little bit more about what Baldur's Gate was. Because I think for me, when my eyes started first opening to Baldur's Gate around Game Awards, where there was a trailer, and the trailer said like Dungeons and Dragons in it, and I was like, oh, interesting. So this is a Dungeons and Dragons game. Like, this is what I'm getting out of this thing. And as we got closer to it, I realized, noticed that the developer was Larian, and Larian's known for Divinity Original Sin 2, and just Divinity in general. And I've heard such good things about Divinity Original Sin. And I'm like, okay, so this is coming from them. This is going to be Dungeons and Dragons. This actually sounds pretty cool. And so for me, I've been in the mode of wanting to get into a deeper computer or CRPG, whether that's computer classic or whatever. And yeah, like, I've been getting more excited for it as we've been getting closer to it. And now that it's in my hands, like, I'm actually pretty pleased by it. I've been having a lot of fun in only the first 7 hours. I feel like I've barely scratched the surface of what it is. But for the surface I've scratched so far I've gotten a pretty cool and interesting story. A lot of deep RPG mechanics that I'm so curious to see where they go and how deep and technical I can get with it. And then also a combat system that I'm kind of like on both sides of I can see and understand why they have this particular kind of combat system, because they're trying to lean in all the way into the D&D systems. It is you taking your base action and then a bonus action. It is you essentially rolling for everything. And that goes for also just the regular dialogue and regular actions you're taking as you're playing the game. There are literal dice rolls that the game will bring up if you take like a, I'm gonna roll for intimidation, or I'm gonna roll for whatever this property that my character may have. You are adding.
Dude literally said, are you excited? Were you excited for the game? Now Blessed is just here doing his thing.
I'll just try to segue into my, yes, I'm excited for this game.
I love you guys so fucking much.
Greg, were you excited for this?
You're doing great. I was fucking up. Sometimes if I wasn't even on camera, I'd check my watch and crack Andy up. No, long story short, I was not excited for this game. Divinity Original Sin, yes, is one that we had heard so many good things about. I had tried to play that somewhere during the pandemic, maybe. I remember playing it in the old apartment. Or not the old apartment, but you know what I mean. And I didn't it did not click with me. I did not like the combat. So this one I kind of was ignoring until the big presentation they did where they flew people to Belgium, and then there was the giant thing, and of course the guy fucked a bear. And I was like, well, now you have my attention.
Exactly.
And yeah, finally, you know, really digging into it. We did a PS I Love You about it, me and Janet, when Bless was out of town, about if this could be PlayStation Starfield in terms of, can this be the RPG that PlayStation fans flock to since they can't play Starfield on the PlayStation. And reading about the dice rolls, reading about the choices, watching that stream and really seeing the permutations of characters and choices and decisions. And like, you know, we always talk about playing a game and wanting those water cooler moments, right? Of like, oh, what did you do here? What is this? Blah, blah. Like, we just witnessed one, right? Where Andy wanted to see how it was running on Steam Decks, and you picked up, and you were like, you don't have this. You only have
you
three.
You only have three characters.
You only
in the
have
party?
Three people in the party, and we're like, me and Buster, like, well, you're gonna have more, because like, you know what I mean? And it's that idea, and I don't even know who you have versus who I have versus whatever, and like the relationships you have. Like, that shit was what excited me about the game. And so yeah, I jumped in. I would say with my interests peaked. And now I have plenty to say,
ooh,
but I'll wait.
Oh, look at that. Oh, Andy, we already touched on this a little bit, but like, you, what was your interest or just even understanding of Baldur's Gate going into this?
I knew that it was very similar to it, that basically mirrored what Blessing said. It's Larian Studios and everybody loved Divinity, but I have never ever cared about strategy and turn-based type games. And once we started getting closer and closer to it, and once, honestly, let's be real. Let's be real. It was fucking the bear.
Mm. They knew what they were doing. Like, they knew what they were doing.
Great show.
When you could bang the bear, I immediately just thought, like, damn, this is giving me the Dragon Age vibes that I've been missing for a while. I've been missing so this Mass Dragon Effect Age Dragon Age stuff of having relationships with characters, forming bonds, you know, killing off people, maybe not meeting people at all in your playthroughs. That whole idea really, really intrigued me. And I feel like I kind of had to be a part of it just to see whether it was worth my time or not. Yeah.
So, Bless, I know it's been long awaited, but what do you think about Baldur's Gate 3?
It's terrible. I fucking hate this fucking video game. No, so I've been having a good time. And I think a lot of my good time is reflected from last year. I did a tabletop role-playing game called Blades with some of my friends, right? Which is different from D&D. It was not Yami, no. It's different from D&D. It's not Addison either.
You hit back up Addison. Had to talk to him in years.
Come back, man. It's been a while, bro. But no, we were playing Blades in the Dark. And the thing I appreciated about that was my first time playing a longer campaign of a tabletop role-playing game. And I appreciated the depth we can get into of really role-playing these characters and being who, like, totally embodying who we wanted these characters to be and playing our classes and bouncing off of our other companions' classes, right? And like having this moment of, oh, we're creating our own story here. And from playing Baldur's Gate 3, I feel like I'm getting so much of that experience of getting to really define how I play. And for me, I think that is the hallmark of what makes a really good RPG, especially one of these kinds of RPGs, is how open does this game feel? How much do I have the autonomy to do what I want to do? If I want to create a character that, like right now, the character I'm playing is a high half elf sorcerer character that, like, I'm putting a lot of my
just blazing all the time.
Oh yeah, he's high as fuck. I'm putting a lot of my stats into things like intimidation or things like persuasion and you know, tricking other characters and that sort of thing, right? My character is more of a, I'm going to solve problems with my mouth and with my mind, right? Like, I'm going to talk myself out of these situations and convince people of things, as opposed to like using my fists. And I've been pleasantly surprised and pleased with how much I've been able to do that, and really go, all right, I need to get this character out of this place. Let me talk to a guy and like see if I can convince him to help me out. Let me talk to this person and like trick them into giving me the key to this door. And I've been doing quite a bit of that, and it's been really fun, right? Because you do the roll, you see the dice roll on the screen, and you're getting the satisfaction of like, please don't roll a one, please don't roll a one, and you roll above whatever you need to get. And it feels like I'm playing an actual tabletop role-playing game.
Greg Miller from kindoffunny.com.
What's up?
My question for you is, are you playing this way because that's what you want to do and this is the character and who you're role-playing as? Or are you kind of being pushed this way because you don't like the combat?
So it's a bit of both, where when I was first creating my character, one, the character creation is so deep and you have so many options, to where going in, that was my plan. Like, that's usually my thing with RPGs that let you do this. With Outer Worlds also, I really wanted to make a character that, again, was less combat focused and more conversation focused. And that's the thing that I liked about that game, is that they had the options to open that up there as well. Here, I was going into it wanting to create a character that, yeah, was less combat focused and more conversational. And I have that. But also, yeah, when I get into combat situations, I am like, ooh, I don't like this. And I think it's twofold. One, my character just isn't great in combat. But then also, I think even if my character was great at combat, this is just not a combat system for me. I am not a strategy combat sort of person. Like I was mentioning earlier, it is, you're doing your action phase, then you're doing your bonus thing, but then also playing on Steam Deck, I have like this radial wheel with like five other radial wheels that I can switch between to figure out what action I'm gonna do. And there's so much detail and so many options that I am way overwhelmed when it comes to combat.
That's a great way to put it. And again, you know, this is Baldur's Gate 3. I did not like Divinity. I did not stick around a long time for it. I echo everything you're saying, and especially to jump off of it, like, overwhelmed is such a great word. Mm-hmm. Where, like, I was thinking about it today. I'm like, okay, we're doing the review or the, you know, preview. What do we want to talk about? What do we want to say? And one of them was the idea that, like, you know, we were getting ready to do the Diablo stream before this, me, Fran, and Gary. And having played so much Diablo, like, I can drop in and do whatever and understand what's going on. But I think now with the seasonal character I just rolled, and the fact that I'm still unlocking so many different spells and so many different things, right? It was so overwhelming to drop into Baldur's Gate 3 and immediately have three radio wheels of different solutions. Choice. This one's green and this one's orange and da da da. And it's like, there's something to be said for obviously dropping in the deep end, you'll figure it out, blah, 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 blah. It's not like it's like so brand new, I don't know what's happening. But it was that when I would do that and go into a fight and lose or whatever, I'd be like, oh man, like I wish there had been a tutorial. I wish there had been more of a, hey, let's get you up to speed. Let's start you the one wheel and a few spells and then it expands and blah, blah, blah. And they didn't do that. I'm sure, you know, this is a game clearly designed to be replayed a bunch of different times so you can get all these different conversations, so you wouldn't want to do it every time. There's a whole bunch of stuff happening, but I'm with you of like, I don't like the combat system. I don't like the way they're doing strategy for it. And again, that's just me, my personal preferences. Like, that's not meant to be a ding against the game. Baldur's Gate 3, for the 6 hours I've played it, is fantastic. Like, having said I don't like the combat system, this is still one though where I'm like, I'm not going to play anymore on PC because I'm just not a PC guy. But when it comes to PlayStation and I've gotten through the holiday rush or whatever, I could totally see this being a let's do a roll. Let's go in there and jump in there and see the different things. Yes, Tim.
Is there cross save situations going on? Like, will you be able to?
You can download when you initially launch it on PC. It says create a Larian account, to which I said absolutely the fuck not. But then when you look closer, it says you do this to have a cross play sort of situation, cross save as well, where you could then, I guess, log into your Larian account on your PlayStation or Xbox in the future.
Cool. But I'm not attached to my character enough that that's like a thing for me. It's more that I just want to jump in and I would start fresh because, again, you know, I don't like the strategy. I don't like the way combat feels in it, but I do love everything surrounding it.
Yeah.
Like making your character, getting into the minutia. Okay, cool. Yours, you know, I'm boring as hell. So I just did a human fighter, right? That I named Diana of Themyscira. And like launch her out there, and it's like, as usual, I'm like, okay, cool, I'm gonna be a good guy, I'm going to be a good person, right? Because I'm role playing as Wonder Woman. That immediately went out the window of, oh, you're in there, you get so many choices for dialogue or for options, and they're not necessarily good or bad, right? I loved the fact that there were so many different like options for answering a conversation, and it's like in brackets intelligence or whatever, you know, down the line of all the different traits it could be that you have to remember if you're good at, let alone you come in and then you do the dice roll for it. I fucking love the dice roll. Yeah. I love the D&D.
I do wish there was a bit when you're making those dialogue choices, I wish it would reminded you of like what you put your stats into, because I'm like, oh yeah, am I intelligent or am I persuasive? And it doesn't seem like there's a like an option to like remember to or to remind you of that.
Yeah. I think it's so much of it, and this doesn't happen often, but this is, you know, both me and Bless jumping into a game that isn't necessarily our usual wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. I think so much of that is, you know, we started the game like a Fallout RPG of just like, all right, whatever. And then you get in there like, oh, this shit does matter, and I do need it. Like, I went back to make sure I understood more, so I was making the right choices in that front to have those conversations, to do those things. But to go through, to have the conversations with both NPCs and then your party, and you go back to the camp and they're dressed different. Such a Mass Effect thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
When I went back to the camp and Shadowheart showed up in this like sexy outfit, I was like, oh, goddamn. All right, cool. Like, this is the ship. I got it. I'm wrapping my head around what's going on. And then
stay the fuck away from Shadowheart, okay? Stay away from her.
I wish I could.
I mean, she's chatting up this other wizard dude, and I'm like, all right, this wizard dude, get out of my party. I don't want to hear you all flirting anymore.
Dude, you know what I'm talking about?
The wizard. Oh, wow. That was really, really good.
Crazy. She's like in some weird cult or whatever. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah,
whatever.
I don't care. Yeah, ruin my life.
I can be like, whatever you got to do. Whatever.
Kill my family. Not, I don't care.
At least she's not a Starian. Whoever that vampire dude is, I can't stand him.
Yeah.
He's in my party right now. So, I'm like, you're lucky I only have two of you.
Very shocked by how many characters y'all have. I have like 7, and you can only have 4 in your party. So when I go back to my camp, there are 3 additional characters there, similar to going back to the Normandy or going back to your main cast. I'm already blanking on what it's called in Dragon Age. What'd you say?
Peach's Castle.
Peach's Castle. There it is, from Dragon Age. I'm very much aligned with you all in that I don't think this is doing combat bad. It's just doing combat that I don't like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's doing turn-based combat in the way that people would expect, where there are a lot of choices and you can have your squad mate shoot an arrow there and then run back behind the wall if they need to get cover or whatever. And there's a lot of nuance in there, but would I prefer it just being a top-down Diablo slasher or like Dragon Age, where Dragon Age reminded me a lot of Final Fantasy VII Remake combat, where it's not 100% real-time. You are freezing time to tell your dude to use that one attack so it can open you up for this and that, but you're still actively moving around, hacking and slashing, having a lot of fun action-wise. But those are just the games that I prefer. So whenever I am in a combat scenario, I'm never like the most enthused about it.
Yeah.
But like Greg was mentioning, everything surrounding it I think is fantastic. All of the characters you meet, the interactions you're having. I love that this is a game that is incredibly overwhelming with all the systems and all the abilities it throws at you. But what isn't overwhelming is the story. And I'm so glad that the game starts off in, I think, the most simple way possible. This mind flayer put a worm in your eye and you got to get it out of your eye. You got to get this worm from out of your eye because it's like messing with your mind or whatever. And it's messing with other people's minds. We got to find a cure. How do we do that? I think it could have easily been that Baldur's Gate 3 has all these complex systems and also says,
a millennia ago, there was the thing.
By the way, this kingdom and this king and this region, like none of that shit. You were kind of put on this Cthulhu. You were put on a Cthulhu style H.P. Lovecraft ship with these mind flayers, and these are creatures that we don't really know a whole lot about.
Unless you watch Stranger Things.
Yeah, unless you watch Stranger Things. Or that's also the enemies in Demon Souls and
All right,
I believe Demon Souls.
No, anyway. I agree. No, for real. Yeah. Of course, like you drop in and then just go.
Yeah,
and it makes sense why there's a motley crew, why you have to work together. You don't need to run through people's backstories. Whatever, go, and then you can if you want because the game's so deep with conversations.
Yeah, you're meeting a lot of people that were on the ship with you that are also kind of dealing with this problem, and then it's we got to find a cure. And I love that it starts you off on such a basic step. You know, this is step one of this whole gigantic story that will eventually expand out, because you then hit moments later on that I won't spoil anything, but I got to a part where I'm like, I think I'm gonna save right here.
We've been having some issues here today with the internet, with the power, so we just lost the last couple minutes. I'm sorry.
Don't
about
act like
that.
It's our fault though. The entire neighborhood lost power.
It's
bad, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not our fault. Someone's fault. But
PG&E's fault.
PG&E. Yeah.
Anyway, back to the conversation now, okay?
It turned out grabbing that hat would break the game in 5 hours. I would have something to go back to. Whereas this one is so, I'm dropping save states because, okay, I don't know if any conversation can go poorly.
Yeah.
And if that happens, I'm into a fight. And what happens if I die or somebody else gets killed or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, then it's even the point of, there was one where I was, going through. A bunch of goblins there, they're being a bunch of gobbies.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want me to get through there.
I like how you said that.
gobbies.
They don't like that term.
They didn't want me to come through, So I was like, oh, I'm going to talk my way out of it. Tried to, failed the dice roll. Fight breaks out. I die. Everybody dies. It's a wipe. Come back.
I set the game to the easiest difficulty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't. I'm still
and it's
medium.
Still
maybe I should.
Hold on, not easy
finish
for
my point.
Me.
And then I rolled the dice again and got a different die roll. Did the conversation the way I wanted to originally go and moved on. I was like, okay, cool.
This is interesting to me here with the amount of choices in the save state conversation. All of you seem to be doing that to some extent. Do you think that is enhancing your experience or kind of getting in the way of it where you're not satisfied with those decisions, or are you just like, I want to tell the story this way, so it's worth going back and redoing? Because it's not that the other ways were bad, it's just not what I want.
I just want to get competent at combat, because that's what's happening for me. So there's auto saves, but it's like, even then it'll set you back a few minutes or whatever from where it was. So it's me dropping a thing because if I get in a fight with all these goblins, there's too many goddamn goblins. Or, which has happened to me multiple times in this game, I accidentally steal something,
and then everyone
wants to murder me.
Such a problem.
Yeah, or, you get put into jail, and it's like, I'll try to get out of jail, but then they kill me, but then the guys aren't in jail. It's like, you know what? It would be easier to reload the save from 10 minutes ago and just go that way. I'm very much... Once I'm competent of it, and again, I think I understand the rules of the world a bit more, I would very much want it to be, I'm playing, and cool. Whatever happens is going to happen.
For me, go for it, Andy.
I was going to say it's curiosity for me. It's not necessarily like I'm unhappy, or it's more of like, what do the game devs, how far are they taking this, cool. Because I'm so amazed, and also just, I'm given extreme anxiety thinking about the amount of work that went into this game. I know that several weeks ago, maybe a month ago by this point, they mentioned the hundreds and hundreds of hours of cutscenes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And having a lot of other game dev Twitter pop in and be like, wow, what? We don't want to say crunch, but you can't really do that without having a crazy amount of work happen. So I am extremely blown away by the quality and by the variety of things that can happen. And I also wanted to point out that, when we did our Final Fantasy 16 review, and I kept on harping on the most gigantic, epic, magnificent cutscenes and crazy boss fights, and the side quests are very MMO animations, and everything looks very procedural and automated because you have budgets and you need to put a shitload of money into the other stuff to make it look good, and maybe you don't have enough time or money to spend on the other smaller issues of the game. The thing that I really, really love about this game, and I'm super impressed by in the way that Horizon Forbidden West impressed me, is that all of these, it's very procedural animation. These aren't the mouth moving from these characters that you're talking to is kind of dictated by what they're saying, right? But they're still so expressive in their eye animations, and they do such a good job with I'm gonna squint right here because I'm angry, and I feel like that doesn't happen a whole lot in a lot of games. Of course the main cutscenes will do that, but the random side quest where you talk to a random jabroni over there, you always notice a difference in love being put in certain areas. This game is really impressing me with the amount of variety and the amount of quality in that variety.
One of the things I would call out is, I would say I've played of my the overwhelming majority has been on Steam Deck. Putting it on TV last night, I was like, oh fuck, I don't want to play this on Steam Deck again. Like, it looked so much better on there. Not that the Steam Deck looked like garbage, I just couldn't get as many details out of it as you did later on.
It's gorgeous,
and I think one of the things to toss out is, you can look at it and like, you're talking about, oh, well, lip sync this, or like, it doesn't look, you know, whatever, amazing, amazing. What I love about it is that it has a defined style. You know what I mean? It has made stylistic choices, and I mean this in the most congratulatory, no, I mean this is praise, is where I forget where I was going on the other side of the diving board there. I mean this is praise. It reminds me so much of the style that Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning had, and I loved that game, and that was one of the games, you know, that I'm not the orcs and elves guy, but I got so into that game. And I'm talking about the map that was just up there in the corner, I'm talking about the HUD, I'm talking about the way dialogue is, I'm like, there is a style to this game that I just vibe with so much, that again, like, I know I am always full of empty, not promises, sometimes promises, but empty, like, oh, I'd love to get back to this game. I do really hope and feel like in December I will be like, cool, things have settled enough, I'm going to go give this a shot on my PlayStation.
And to your point, too, I think it's digestible and approachable, even if you're not into, like, high fantasy, because I am that person also where,
oh yeah,
you know, I am not into the idea of a Lord of the Rings. I am not into the idea of something that's super high fantasy.
I'll tell you, I got real excited with that you've been playing this. I was like, hey, yeah, I got to make Blessing Watch over.
Like, I think this game is doing such a great job, and maybe this is just general growth from me, just like
first mechs now.
Yeah, now fantasy, like, oh damn, wow. Maybe I'm just appreciating things more. But I think this game is highlighting a lot of the cool aspects of the D&D world. I think starting off with the Mind Flayer stuff and being on this Cthulhu ship to start off is a really strong start to get me to go, oh, this is fucking cool, right? And then from there, they give you, yeah, like, here are a couple of characters that you have this interesting dynamic with because you met in this interesting way. And I think everything they're doing about the presentation of it is making it palpable for me coming in and, you know, being curious, but not automatically in, right? I think they're doing a good job of bringing me in.
And again, we talk about dropping you into the deep end of mechanics if you're like us and aren't familiar with these mechanics. The story is the opposite of that again, right? Where even once you get going, it's like, cool, these people need to leave this grove, but they're fighting about it. All right, cool. These goblins are mad about whatever. It's not like back to the point we were making earlier. For 100 years, this has happened since Queen did blah, blah, blah. Like, none of that.
Yeah. Also,
so far.
I want to answer your question about the safe state stuff.
Before you do that, though, Bless, let me tell you a word from our sponsors. Go for it, Bless.
Yeah, so, like, I think for me, regarding the safe state stuff, for me, it's the it being a D&D experience versus a video game experience, where I think for video games, we have the idea of, oh, I want to get the good ending, or I want to do the right thing, or I want to, like, go either renegade or paragon, right? And, like, there's nothing in between there. I think this game, because of the D&D side of it, it kind of asks you to want to roll with it and go, hey, you fucked up. You just got to keep going. Like, it is improv at every moment. It is, hey, just keep going with the story because, hey, you messed up and that's part of this experience. And because we're playing video games, you have that urge to want to reload your save, which I've done plenty of times playing this game because at the end of the day, it is a video game. But I think it works because you get both things. Like, I've been trying to play this game, rolling with it as much as possible.
So you're role-playing a role player right now, but soon you will be a role player.
I will play the role, yeah.
Yeah,
I
can't wait for
that. But I think it works out because of that, because you still do have the option.
Yeah. You looked excited to say something there.
I mean, I love the idea of this getting me into D&D in general. Like, I think one thing that I wish I knew whenever there was a choice to be made is, depending on the difficulty of choice or how crazy the stakes might be on a certain dialogue choice or whatever, is, like, sometimes I see a choice, I'm like, oh, I would like to convince this person to do this. And I click into it, and you have a 20-sided die, and this one requires 14 points. I was like, oh,
it's
fuck.
Like, oh, shit.
I have to hit 14 or above on this one.
Do I get
one.
A bonus, though? You dropping those bonuses?
I have a bonus one. Hopefully, I get a 13 or whatever, and I roll it. It's a 6. I'm like, oh, god damn it, dude. And that person goes, nope, sorry. You're not convincing me. Kill that person. Yeah, like, no! Yeah, yeah.
That's fun.
It's extremely impressive, man. And, like,
very.
Again, I just think about the work and effort that went into all this, because not only are there a shit ton of NPCs that you can have a lot of different interactions with, but they are also, a lot of those interactions are also based on, and dialogue choices are based on who you are and what your background is, which is stuff that I freaking love, man. Yeah. I love, like, walking up to a group of people and I am a I'm a half high elf drow, which is like,
oh brother,
not a human enough, but like an elf and a drow banged, and like the drow is like, it's just like they're an underworld kind of a
snake.
No, they're like they grew up in caverns and stuff like that. Like they,
how do you spell that?
D R O W.
I forgot to mention that. Like my guy's draconic. It's kind of like, you know, we're from different
that's
tribes.
Cool.
The same
yeah. But see, yeah. And that's the stuff I love. Yeah, so you might get a dialogue option where you meet a group of stragglers that maybe feel like they're unwelcome. And I go, hey, I can relate to that because that's the dialogue option I selected, which is the drow like dialogue option. I may not be pronouncing that correctly.
I did noble birth for mine, I think you're right, because Diana Themyscira, you know, Wonder Woman being a princess and all. And so it's the same thing of, you know, she's from Baldur or whatever, right? So she speaks the language. So there's been a few times that's popped up that she talks in a different language when they say that. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And, like,
and I just want to keep on getting lost in this game. Like, it again, it's such a testament to the quality and craftsmanship of the amount of things that can be done and interacted with. Like the fact that I'm so into this game, yet I don't really love the combat, and yeah. I'm still into it regardless. Like there are so many cool moments that I'm used to in other video games where there's a moment where you're kind of adventuring around and you see kind of a crack in the floor, and then above it there's like a wooden crane with a stone hanging above it, and usually what happens is you look at the stone and then you go, boop, let me select the option that says cut the rope or whatever. But you don't really do that here. What you do here is you interact with the world the way you would interact with anything else, where you bring up your, what is it, 12 or 20 wheel options. Yeah. And
radial wheels as far as
yeah,
I can.
And like the options might be push or jump or shoot an arrow or whatever. So I walked up to the crane and I'm like, I think this thing is meant to break that little stone down there. Let me hit shoot, and I hit shoot, and then what do you want to shoot? I want to shoot that arrow. Boop, boop. Shoots a thing, boom, creates a hole in the ground. Cool, I can go explore in there now. And some of it is really cool and neat to interact with, but the moments that I don't love are, I want to cross this river. I can't, Tim, you can't just run and hit A to jump.
Yeah.
You run to the edge, you go into your dialogue wheel, and you select jump. Where do you want to jump? I want to jump there. Do that. But sometimes there's three stones, so you have to do that three different times, and it's just like it gets kind of frustrating and annoying.
If you're playing on
in
Steam Deck,
like
you press up on the D-pad, it's your automatic jump.
No way. Yeah. Well, I'm playing on controller.
Oh yeah, so I think if you press up,
oh
D-pad,
shit,
it'll,
okay,
it'll
cool, cool,
jump.
Cool. Very cool. Also, the leveling up, just auto level up people for me.
Yeah, occasionally you get to that thing of like, all right, cool, now choose a subclass or choose something, but sometimes it's just like, cool, they're just leveled up. I'm like,
yeah, like it, in order to level your squad mates up, they don't just automatically do it. It'll alert you to know when they are level upable, which is now a new phrase. And you bring up your whole crew, and then you have to like click their name, then go to level up, and then it'll go level up. But before you do that, you need to select the stuff that you're leveling up. And I'm like, okay, let me select those. Now you confirm the level of, and it becomes another cool animation, whatever. So it gets like, it reminds me of why in moments where we hear people that didn't like Red Dead Redemption because it's like way too
tedious,
immersed and tedious. Yeah, there are moments like that where I'm like, this is the D&D experience.
Yeah.
This is this is the level of
tedium.
Tedium?
Yep.
I was going to say tediocrity.
Is
which
awesome.
Is a new phrase.
You did it. You coined the word.
The level of tedium you can expect. Is that? I feel like you're fucking with me.
No, that, tedium.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, that's cool as hell. Like, that's the. This is an authentic experience. Whether you like it or not, this is what you're kind of going to have to deal with when playing this game.
Yeah.
I want to stay away from that, Andy. Like, whether you like it or not, you sound like you're pretty into this. Some things you're not so sure on. Are you planning to continue playing this? And an even bigger question, do you think that this is a contender?
Ah! Whoa! I definitely want to continue playing this. I know we have some other stuff on the horizon that we'll be dropping, but I am super into it and want to keep on playing it because I'm just so invested in seeing what can happen with these characters and what dialogue choices can be made. Like, again, having that moment last night where I'm like, I think I want to kill this person, and they are really kind of making sure that I want to kill this person. Like, you can't just hit the button and do it. It's like, whoa, do you want to do this? Because this is going to like drastically change shit. I'm like, I think I want to commit to this. And that level of
that level of commitment you have in those moments shows me like the level of commitment these devs have to like these changes really, really matter. Yeah. And I definitely want to keep on playing it. I want to get it working on my Steam Deck because I can't get it working right now for whatever reason.
Raj there.
Will it be a contender? I don't know.
Raj there showed some footage, and so I want to point out, if you're an audio person not watching, I do really dig that they have a narrator. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you have like a dungeon master that's cool. Not a dungeon master, but like talking and like, oh, this happens, but this doesn't happen. And because of X, Y, and Z.
You walk up to a stone, a strange object permeates from the stone.
Yeah.
And you look at it, you're like, do I want to grab it?
That's great. Yeah.
It's really awesome.
Yeah.
So, Greg, what about you? Are you planning to keep playing this?
I won't keep playing in this. I'll wait for PlayStation just because, I'm not thrilled with how it looks on Steam Deck, and there's so much going on the screen. I want it to look big, and I don't want to be attached. And I was playing on my PC at home last night, which isn't the most up-to-date PC, so it wasn't running super well. But to be realistic, I'm way more excited for Starfield moment-to-moment gameplay. I'm more excited for the story, I think, and the choices here, which is a trade-off. Mm. But I think, I'll wait for PlayStation to probably get to it towards the end of the year.
Do you think that it is a contender, if not for you? Do you think that it will be for others?
For a certain gamer, for sure. Yeah. I think for a lot of people that are drawn to this kind of role-playing game or role-playing games in general, I think it will be. For me, no. Again, I don't think the combat system's as good as it could be, and it isn't clicking immediately. And granted, 5 hours in, if we had gotten this code earlier and I had been able to give it 2 weeks, maybe we have a different conversation about how much I like it and how much I learned to use it and yada, yada, yada. Also, if I could play on a PlayStation. But there's other things in like the map. While again, I love the style of it, using the map, I often found myself frustrated to a degree of just like, how the fuck am I going to get over there? And I know that's part of the game, obviously, to get me off track. But it was like, didn't seem intuitive in times on how to get to certain places or do certain things. This would not be a top 10 for me. I think for some people it'll be Game of the Year candidate, but I think for me and the other games we've seen this year, it wouldn't do it for me.
Plus, where are you at?
Yeah, I think I'm going to play this the way that Greg talks about playing Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, where it's going to be one that I dip into throughout whoever knows how long, right? Like, I think the fact that this game is hundreds of hours long, or at least has hundreds of hours of content in it, makes me want to take my time and play it through slowly. And I think I will keep playing it on my Steam Deck because I think it does look good enough. I know for a fact that if I boot it up on PC, I'll be blasted with
blown
such
away.
Beauty. And that's why I never want to see how this game looks.
Don't show me.
I do not want to see how this game looks.
With me
no, because I'm having such a good time playing it on Steam Deck, and I know it looks janky a bit, but it's good enough. And that's my thing. I'm like, it's good enough, and playing it handheld is such a great way to do it as opposed to just being stuck in my desk. And I prefer this way. And I want to dip into it just over the course of however long. The only time I don't enjoy playing this game is during the combat. But outside of the combat, in every moment, I'm having such a blast. And I don't know if for me it'd be a contender, only because I don't think I'm going to beat it anytime soon. But I think industry-wide, I think a lot of people are going to have a lot of things to say about Baldur's Gate 3 just in the broad conversation of Game of the Year across the industry, not necessarily that kind of funny. And especially in RPG of the Year. Like, I expect to see this at Game Awards because it is deep and it commits hard to being what it is. 100%. And I have so much respect for it for doing that. And like, there is so much joy I'm getting out of it for being that. And like, to everything Andy was talking about cinematics and all these things, right? I have been surprised moment to moment where I talk to a random NPC, like just any random NPC, and they get into a whole conversation. And that's an interesting moment where it is. I was talking to a kid at one of like the Grove areas, one of the settlements. And this kid's like, oh, hey, like, do you want this ring? And I'm like, no, what's up with the ring? And he like does like a fun little magic trick where he makes it disappear or whatever. And my character's like, oh, that's interesting. My character obviously is like this sleight of hand, like trickster kind of guy. So I'm like, hey, let me see that. And like, I kind of do my own magic trick with it, and I impress the kid. And we had this whole interaction.
Well, while we were recording, all the power went out. It was a lot scarier than it should have been for everybody involved. But we're back. The power's here for now. So we're going to wrap up the conversation here. Our final thoughts so far on Baldur's Gate 3. Bless, let's start with you.
Yeah, this game for me has been doing everything right? Like, I've been really enjoying the D&D elements. The only part of this game that I feel like I'm not enjoying is the combat stuff, right? And I think that is going to be to each their own situation. I'm with Andy with what he said earlier of I don't think this game has a bad combat system, but it's definitely not for me. That said, like, I've been so engrossed with the stuff it's doing with story, with the stuff it's doing with world, with the stuff it's doing with choices, all of the depth that's within all of those things. Very impressive, and I can't wait to keep playing.
Greg?
I'm really impressed. I hope and I would expect that it carries the weight of what it's already done. You know what I mean? Like, it's always hard to say, oh, we've previewed this game. We're previewing this game. I expect it to hold up the entire way through, and I think it'll make for a great time if it does. Again, yeah, I'm right there with Blessing. This isn't a combat style I vibe with, and it's not that I've never enjoyed a turn-based strategy a game before, right? Or where you can look at like something like Valkyria Chronicles that I really did dig, and it had a very similar thing. I think it's just going to be about getting immersed in it and having more time with it for it to really click and me to really learn it, I guess, more than anything. But I'm excited to give it that shot later on when it comes to PlayStation. I can play it on the big TV that way because, yeah, it's an impressive game for sure.
It's wild that I would prefer a watered-down version of any other sort of combat system. Like, if this game came out with a very mediocre hack and slash sort of combat, and I'd be like, you know, combat's fine, but everything else is great. It's just like, that's how much I don't really love
one question
vibing
we didn't get to dive into because of the power. You talked about you're playing on story difficulty, like the easiest difficulty. Is that making it just brain dead and you're flying through it? Or
No. I mean, well, maybe because I'm just brain dead, right? Like, I don't really have a whole lot of experience with games like this, because this isn't Final Fantasy, stand in a line, select what you... It's very much like move and click behind all sorts of areas, and you kind of have to understand your surroundings and how to get like in order to take advantage of where you're at and the environment. And there's a barrel of oil over there. What if I shoot the barrel of oil? Cool. Oil spilled all over the place. Now I'll have homeboy shoot a fire spell and that'll explode. Like, there's a lot of freedom in that way. I am on the most easiest difficulty, so these fights can hopefully just be quicker. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I felt about, that's what I've done with a lot of scary games back in the day, where it's like, I don't want to like have to die and have to redo this very scary thing. So yeah, more of it is just like, how can I get through it quicker and get back to the meat of the stuff, which is like, who am I going to bang? And that's really all I'm looking forward to, Tim. I've got my, like, so far two companions not flirting with me. They're flirting with everybody else in the party. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling those dudes, get the fuck out. All right.
And to the get through a quicker thing, that's one thing with the combat system that I'm hoping grows on me, because I've been kind of impressed with the area I'm in currently, where I just partnered up with a dude that I'm trying to save. And now it is, hey, once we go into the other room, we're going to have to take out this entire camp. And I look through and I'm like, oh, but it's a big camp, which means we're going to be fighting for a minute. Yeah. And I started that section, and sure enough, I was fighting for, it was like 20 minutes before I was like, I got to reload, because I am not doing good in this. But that said, I still have a lot of respect for what they're doing with it. And I'm so curious to see how other people take to it. Like, I want to see how the hardcore of the Baldur's Gate community take to the combat system. I'm sure it's been similar before, right? But I want to see how even, like, I guess the wider RPG fan base as well takes to the combat system, because even though I'm saying it's not for me, I very much see what they're doing with it. I very much see the, oh, it's D&D improv. It is, like you said, Andy, oh, I got to shoot this barrel so that oil spills, so that I can get my guy with the fire spell to go do this thing. I got to play to my strengths and who I made as a character. And so if I'm going through and I'm doing melee attacks and I didn't make a melee attack type character, I am not going to have a good time with this, right? You really got to think on another level and play it literally like it is a tabletop role-playing game and make choices with a lot of intent.
Which is so cool.
Which is really cool. And again, I really respect it, but also it's just that push and pull of, I'm willing to give that amount of myself into the story and the characters and everything else. But when it comes to the combat, that's where I'm like, oh damn, all right, this is asking a lot. I don't know if I have that much of myself to give.
I'd say do not hesitate to drop to the lowest difficulty, because it doesn't become just one shot kills. Let me get through everything fast. Let me just reiterate that it could just be that I'm really bad at this sort of style game and I'm not doing things right, but it's still like, people in my party are still getting knocked out every once in a while. Like, it isn't like the most easy, just click and win sort of combat, even on the easiest difficulty. But the reason that I also prefer the easiest difficulty is not only to make it faster, but I don't enjoy it enough to die over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I enjoy dying a lot in Souls games because I love that sort of combat. So it's very, very different, right? But I would say that the first couple of encounters on the normal difficulty, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know how to get better at this.
And because of that, I am going to drop to the easiest. And I still find it to be...
I still don't understand!
I still find it to... It's the fact that it's not brain dead is what's perfect for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, give me the tiniest bit of challenge, but I don't want to just be... Shoot that dude, they're dead. Shoot that dude, they're dead. Shoot that dude, they're dead. I enjoy that there is still some thinking you have to do in it.
Well, that's awesome. Let us know in the comments below.
Very cool game. If they're selling
you, if you haven't been interested in this type of game before and given it a shot, or if this is your thing.
Tell us how. What's the fastest way to learn this system and understand it in a different way?
100%. If you are a big Baldur's Gate, D&D, any of that stuff fan, let us know in the comments below where you're at with Baldur's Gate. It will be coming out for everybody very, very soon. If not right now, I don't even know.
It's out on PC it's launch day when this posts on for PC.
Yeah. So enjoy your time. Everybody. But until next time, I love you all. Thank you for your patience with us with all the stuff we've been having today. Goodbye.
Is the power out again?
No.